May the words of my mouth and all the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Did you know that sitting here today, you are going to the greatest church in Charlestown? Or if not the greatest, certainly the best. Now that may sound like an arrogant statement, and in fact, it is. Maybe particularly arrogant given that just on Friday evening, a number of us gathered with our friends from St. Francis of de Sales and St. Mary, St. Catherine Roman Catholic Churches for an ecumenical prayer service in the training field as we commemorated the World Day of Peace. But someone has told us we are the best. I couldn't find it on my email list, but more than once now I've gotten an email saying, you've been voted Charlestown's best. And I think you know where this is going. There are businesses that are out and about that do some kind of survey, some kind of poll out in the world, where you get to select your favorite pizza parlor, your favorite hair salon, your favorite bank, and apparently you can vote for your favorite church. And my guess is, I didn't even read all the details of the email, if we just send in $49.95, we will get a plaque that we can hang up that says, we're the best. When Jesus asked his disciples what they were arguing about on the way, they were silent, for they had argued over who was the greatest. And oh, how this world places before us so many temptations at times to say, yes, we are the best, we're the greatest, or whether we like it or not, defines those standards for us. I still remember with piercing memory my high school physics teacher. There were two teachers who taught physics in our high school, and you always were concerned about which one you were going to get. Because if you got Mr. Curtis, you knew that he had an annual custom. At the beginning of the year, you were all seated by alphabetical order in the classroom. Whoever's last name began with an A was in the front row in the seat closest to his desk, and if you had a Z, you were in the back row. The hard part came after the midterm exams. Mr. Curtis was quite clear. He would announce everyone's grade on the final exam. And the way you would remember that grade is he would start with the lowest grade, and that person would then sit in the seat in front of his desk for the rest of the year. And in slowly ascending order, we were seated until the person with the highest score was in the last row and the back seat. Who was greatest? Who was smartest in that class? I won't tell you where I sat. But we are surrounded on a daily basis by ways in which the world will define and mark greatness or achievement. We may discover that as we look about what kind of house we can afford, or what kind of academic level of achievement we have gained compared to someone else, or what level of income that we are making. The church likes to think that we do it better, that we have a way of acknowledging everyone's equality before God as we welcome people into Christ's community. We are susceptible as well. Some of you commented last week, you've noticed that we've rearranged some of the chairs up here, and I've put some explanatory words in the bulletin, but there are two large chairs that used to be out here and we've placed back there. And they're quite similar to chairs that have been in other churches. And in fact, in the first church I served up in Vermont, there was a chair just like that behind the pulpit. And I still remember the day when I was giving a lesson to the Sunday school class about the meaning of the objects up around the altar. And we talked about the altar, we talked about the pulpit. And at one point, one small boy went and plopped himself in that lovely upholstered chair and said to me, "So is this where the king sits?" We are all one, Yet some have different chairs than others. Roger, now you're a king. The church doesn't always get it right either. But sometimes it is a child who opens our eyes to the truth. And I'm not about to suggest that children bear all wisdom and are free from any desires themselves to discover who is greatest. If you spend any time in a third grade classroom, you'll discover the inordinate amount of time spent on coming up with rules about who's allowed to cut in line and who isn't. It almost sounds like Talmudic scholars. How do we define greatness? When Jesus discovered that his disciples were arguing about who was the greatest, he took a child. And I wonder if it was a child like that young boy who came up and sat in the chair. And he said, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." How we welcome one another. How we care for one another. Simple marks of true greatness. St. Stephen's Episcopal Church in the South End, one of our sister churches in this diocese, has created a ministry over the last 10 to 15 years of creating a ministry of welcome for children in their neighborhood and beyond. They developed an after-school program called the Be Safe Program. And literally, it helps children to be safe in those hours after school, many of whom do not have homes where parents are when they're going home after school. George Fuentes was a young boy who grew up attending the Be Safe program. He was one of the first 20 children in the first year that this program was established. He grew with the program, and this past summer, having graduated from high school, he became one of the lead counselors for the program at the age of 19. And usually you have to be 21 to become a counselor in that program. And as some of you know, 2 weeks ago, George was shot and killed as he sat outside of his home in Dorchester. A random and senseless act of gun violence. Those who shot George had no idea who he was and no idea of the community of which he was a part. Occasionally, I will read articles in the newspaper that discuss whether the city of Boston has become a world-class city. That is, whether we have the kind of mass transit system, the kind of academic institutions, the kind of cultural life that put us in the top rank of cities around the world. Of course, there's another way in which a city could be described as great. A place where every child is not only welcomed, but every child is safe, whether they're in church, in school, or on the front stoop of their home. It sounds utterly impossible. Could we ever achieve that kind of community? Well, perhaps. Perhaps if we remember where to start. I wasn't able to attend the service for George, but read the homily that Tim Crellin, the rector and good friend of George's, gave. And apparently, in his short time with Be Safe, in his short time as a leader, George had already become a mentor of young boys and girls. He who had been welcomed as Christ welcomes us was welcoming others. And if we ever consider for ourselves how difficult or how risky it might be to extend our embrace and to welcome the world, perhaps we can start by remembering how we have been welcomed by Christ. How each week we are welcomed to this table. How Jesus Christ continually welcomes us into a deeper relationship with God so that we discover what it means to welcome others, to invite them into the loving embrace of God's community, so that all of us, children and adults alike, may grow in our faith and love and serve the Lord our God with heart and soul and mind and strength. Amen.